Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, friends. It is I, Minister Big Ken, a.k.a. Minister Gerald Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California on this wonderful beginning of a new week. It is Monday, the 21st of September, 2015. Wow, where has time gone? Thank you for listening. Thank you for those who will be listening, those who have been listening, those who catch the archives. And we thank you. We thank most of all our Heavenly Father, Jesus. Our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, for allowing us to be here today. For most of y'all that know, I work nights 5 to 5. So I didn't get off work this morning till like 7:30. So, but God has allowed me to be here, and we're going to tackle a new topic. And I'm excited about this one because I think this is one of those topics that many people just don't take time to really search out. Some may have, and this might be old for some of you. It might be a refresher, but I think most importantly that we're all going to grow in this series of the attributes of God, knowing the character of God, and knowing that God is not just a one-dimensional God, knowing that He's not just a God of love or a God of wrath, a God that's just, He has many attributes that make up the very character and nature of who He is, and you cannot have a holy God or a perfect God like our God without having all of Him and understanding that He is a God who has many names because those names attribute to His character and nature. Amen. So in saying that, the call-in number is 646-668-8668. That's the call-in number. And I want you to if you're being blessed by this radio ministry, hey, tell some friends. You can catch the archives. You know you can find me on Facebook. Most of y'all already know that I'm on there quite frequently. And you can go to Daryl Kendrick on Facebook and find me there. You can also go to the Blog Talk website, and you just Google Minister Big Ken 65, Minister B-I-G-K-E-N, the number 65, and you can look at all the archive messages. You can just Google that, and it'll take you right to my page. Also, if you'd like to catch me, write an email to me. If you enjoy the program, if you support it, if you think what I'm saying is something that you can relate to, you can go on dkendricksr@gmail.com, dkendricksr@gmail.com. Also, you can catch me if you'd like to call me personally. If you have any questions, or if I can answer it, if I can't answer it on the spot, I'll say, hey, let me get back to you on that. I don't claim to know everything. I'm a student. I'm still growing, like we all should be. The moment I arrive, I'll be in heaven. So you won't have to worry about all our questions to be answered up here. Amen. So my phone number off the air is 713-538-4936. Hey, let's grow together. Let's grow in Christ together. Amen. And let's get to know our God. Let's get to know Him for the fullness. We will learn everything about all of the junk in the world, but we don't want to know our God. And that's a shame, because I tell you, Satan's going to make sure you know Him. He's going to make sure you know this world, your flesh, and he's going to make sure you know Him. That's why he continues to dangle the things that we used to like or those things that are still something that we struggle with. He's always dangling that. We need to be about our Father's business in these last days because we are living in the last days, and we need to know our God and know the fact that, hey, Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and we need to be prepared. Amen. So on that note, let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we come before you, Lord, as humble servants, Lord. We come before you, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before your people, Lord God. I know, Lord God, I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I must decrease, and I need you to increase in me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord God, and give me your wisdom. And I speak the words that you would give me, Lord. And I speak the words that are from your holy writ. May I just be consistent with your truths, Lord God. May I never give out an opinion, Lord God, without stating that it is my personal opinion. But may I always speak those things that glorify you and edify your name. We thank you, Lord God, for the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord God, no matter what the church looks like right now, one day it will be adorned in the fullness and the glory and the majesty that you were adorned her with. And one day, Lord God, you will come back for her. We thank you for this time. We ask, Lord God, that you bless your people. And if there's anybody here, Lord God, the sound of my voice, that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, may this be the day that they come before you, come clean, and lay themselves prostrate before the foot of the cross, Lord, confessing their sin, repenting of their sin, and trusting you forevermore. We love you, we praise you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Most of you know I was on a series of joy, and we were talking about that. If you didn't catch it, please catch it. The last program, there was a dear sister that called from Corsicana, Texas, and she was just a blessing to my heart. She understood what the messenger was trying to convey is that we have attributes and characteristics. We have fruits of the Spirit, which are a byproduct of our salvation. Those of us who have been saved and born again, not those that just attend church, not those that have a Sunday morning religion and then a Monday through Saturday ritual, but I'm talking about those of us who are truly born again and have been bought with a price. We understand who Christ is in our life. We are all at different levels of our spiritual walk, but nonetheless, we are growing more and more and growing closer to him. And she realized that she had been one of those that had been defeated, but she was determined not to be defeated no more. And she was going to take the principles of God's word, not what Daryl said. I was just a messenger, but she was going to take those principles and apply them to her life so that she knew who she was and knew that she had victory and knew that the joy of the Lord was part of her DNA, her spiritual DNA. And I think we need to understand what his spiritual DNA is, so that we can worship him in spirit and truth. Because, look, we are ambassadors of Christ. And if Christ says we're supposed to be one with him, we're supposed to be in him, then we're supposed to be like little Jesus down here. And I can prove that from scripture. Turn with me right quick, and then we're going to talk about the definition of the attributes of God, or what an attribute is. Turn with me to John chapter 15, real quick. I think this will help us understand who God is, or what Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit just gave me this, but this wasn't even in my notes. But I think we need to grab hold to this. Jesus says, 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withered, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So, as Christians, friends, We are commanded by God. It is a part of our DNA that we bear fruit. I think all of us would agree that Jesus is saying that we're supposed to be connected to the vine. And being connected to the vine, like grapes are connected, those grapes are to produce fruit. Well, we are connected to Jesus Christ and the Father. So therefore, we are to abide in him, and we're supposed to display fruit. And we're still, it's kind of tying right into last week's message of joy or having part of the fruits of the Spirit, because I told you, you cannot have one without having all of them. But we were specifically talking about joy last week. And this week, we're talking about the attributes of God and understanding that we are part of him now. Because Jesus said, hey, he says right here, abide in me, I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. So Jesus himself is saying, being plugged in, being connected, will get you, will cause you to produce fruit. The problem is with professing believers is they're trying to be connected to the world, the flesh, and the devil, when God says, no, you're supposed to be connected to me. I'm not sharing you with anybody else. It's all about me. I want you to be plugged into me. It's just like that plug in your wall. When you want to plug your computer or your smartphone up, and your phone is dead and you got the little red dot there that says that, hey, your power is about to go dead, you need to be plugged in so you get life. Your phone will get life, will get some juice. Well, guess what? We're plugged into Christ always, then guess what? We're going to be connected to him always. Amen? So we need to really grab hold of this. And I want us to go right here and look. Let's look at the attribute. Let's look at the attribute of God. What is God's nature? Because, see, we have this misnomer about God's nature. And we need to, and we're not going to get through it all today because, hey, it's just not going to happen. We got about 30 minutes, but we want to talk about defined attribute. The word attribute is a noun. This particular, because it's in three components, but there's a verb form and then there's a noun form. We're going to talk specifically about the noun form because God is a person, the person of God. He is a person. He's not a thing and he's not a place. Even though everywhere you go, the presence of the Lord is there. If you're a believer. And I'm going to talk about that. You know, we quote that scripture, where two or more gathered, there he is in the midst. Well, he was there in the midst before you, just by yourself, because you carry God with you. Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. So we don't have to have two or three for God to be with us. He's there everywhere we go, because we're believers. And he don't leave us or forsake us. Amen? So, and that was speaking about church discipline, had nothing to do with everywhere we go that two or more gather, God is in there. That's dealing with a whole different topic, church discipline. But let's go on. This noun form of attribute is a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone or something. God's quality and his character. That's what his attributes make up who he is. Because without God being who he is, and displaying himself and defining himself through the pages of the Holy Writ, the Bible, we would not know God for who he is. Because you hear people, quote unquote, God is love. That's the only thing they know. Jesus is love. But Jesus is God, so guess what? He's also holy. He's also just. He's also a consuming fire. He's also the one that's coming back in Revelation with a host of angels to bring wrath upon the unjust and the wicked and those who have rejected his message. He is also that God. He's also that judge. I think people want to read the parts that they like about Jesus, but they don't want to read all of Jesus. And the message of John of Revelation is all about God's character. He's coming back. He's coming back with a sword. He's coming back to do war against the enemy. Now, think about this. If God is going to deal with Satan and his rebellion, how much more is he going to deal with the unjust and the wicked who are rebellious? Satan's children. And yes, he still loves even when he judges. So we need to really look at the synonyms of this of his attribute, quality, character, trait, feature, element, aspect, property. These are all part of God's nature. He has all the attributes. God is holy. He is just. He is love. He is merciful. And there's so many more. We're going to go through them. We're going to pick them apart. We're going to learn what they mean, because I think this is something we need to really grab hold to when next time somebody just say, God is love. He don't judge nobody. That's not true, friends. That's not even biblical. Matter of fact, let's turn to Matthew 24. Who's Jesus talking to when he talks about these? Let's see, it's Matthew 23. Excuse me. Matthew 23. Who is Jesus talking about when he scathes and boldly rebukes and judges these Pharisees, these religious leaders of his day? If you haven't read it, I want you to read it, but I'm gonna take us through just a tidbit of it, because I don't, for the sake of time. He says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you to, but do not do what they do. In other words, they're hypocrites. He says, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens and hard to bear, and they lay them up on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with one finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fingers and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at the feast and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you should be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Now, Jesus gives seven woes to these religious leaders. He had had enough of them. Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. He knows that they're getting ready that it's already been a done deal. His ministry is almost over. But guess what? He deals with these folks, these hypocrites, these religious folks who basically were so self-righteous that there was no earthly good. They didn't have love. They didn't know how to treat people, because they were so busy trying to be seen outwardly. We got a lot of those today. A whole lot of them. We have to be careful of the spirit of Pharisaical spirit, because it can take us away from loving and treating people with kindness. Now, that doesn't mean that we just allow people to just do whatever. A lot of people got this wrong view of love. And that's one of the things we need to deal with, a biblical viewpoint of love. God's attribute of love and our definition of love is totally different. Because God does not tolerate sin. And he punishes sin because he's holy. His nature won't allow you to justify sin as a way of life. He said, matter of fact, what did John say in 1 John 3, I believe it is, he who practices sin is of the devil. So when you say, when a person says, I hate to judge nobody. No, you better give them the Bible if you love them. You better tell them, man, you practicing a lifestyle that God hates. Whether it's fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, whatever your nature is that's contrary to the word of God, guess what? God hates it. And he says, no, I will not allow you in my kingdom. You cannot fellowship with me practicing that lifestyle. You can't just jump on the homosexual. Even though they're trying to take a stand for what they justify and they want to go and get married with it. But guess what? God says, no. I determine marriage. I define marriage. One man, one woman. Bottom line. Stop trying to get me to come over there on your side. And just because the government allowed it, they allow abortions. But when did God ever believe in killing babies? He speaks about that in the Old Testament, about the sacrifices of when people were giving their children to the gods and goddesses, these false gods and idols. God hated it then, and he hates it now. But we want to call it, Planned Parenthood, huh? We can murder 400, maybe 600, maybe 1,000 babies a day in this country, and we have no conscience. Woe to you. Woe to you. Getting back to our lesson. We want to deal with these, the character of God, because if we don't deal with it, if we don't understand the character of God, we won't understand God in his context and his whole nature. And it's important that we do understand the God of the Bible, because it's so important that so many people out here got the wrong view of God. They have the wrong view of God, and guess what? That's why they don't worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's why we have a society that basically mocks God with unholy living. That's why we have a world that we live in where God is not on the throne, we're on the throne, and we tell God what we want him to do. That's why you have prosperity teaching. Why? Because you can tell God what you want. You can order your menu, whatever you want from God, you just tell God, I need this, and God is supposed to jump like a bellhop. Well, that's not the biblical God. Jesus is not your servant. Even though he came to serve, he's not your bellhop, and he won't be treated as such. He won't be treated as such. We need to understand the biblical nature of God and understand who he is and what he can and how we're to worship him in spirit and truth. Looking from, and this is, I take this from God Questions. I don't want nobody to accuse me of plagiarism, but I think we can look at some of the characteristics of what are the attributes of God. We see here the Bible, God's word tells us what God is like and what he is not like. Without the authority of the Bible, any attempt to explain God's attributes would be no better than an opinion, which by itself is often incorrect, especially in understanding God. Turn to me with me to Job 42:7. Thank you. 646-686-6868. Oh my goodness, I keep doing this. I guess I must be a little bit tired, but that's okay. Y'all bear with me, friends. Bear with me. I'm gonna get it. 646-668-8468. There's just so many sixes in this, you just get confused with it. It's a call in number. And we turn to Job 42. It says, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. And if anybody, if you read the book of Job, Job had some friends that basically they couldn't support Job. They basically attacked Job and wanted to come against him and his very character. They basically said, oh, Job, you got to be in sin. Look at you, man. You got boils on you. Your wife done left you. All your kids are dead. All your livestock is dead. You lost everything you had. And look at you, man. You got to be in sin. See, this is the danger of having friends that only got your back when there's something in it for them versus those that got your back when you're going through hard times and they can stand with you and pray with you. Those are fair weather friends. Job had fair weather friends. He probably did a lot for these folks when he had some money. When everything was going well, he probably took care of them and blessed them, and they was all for him. But when he lost everything, first thing they did was turn on him. Man, you got to be in some sin. What'd you do, Joe? Everybody that's going through, is not going through because they're in sin. Sometimes God want to refine that person. God wants to build them up. He wants to take them through the refiner's fire so that they can build character, so they can know who they are in Christ. Because if you don't go through nothing, you ain't going to grow through nothing. I like that. If you don't go through nothing for God, you're not going to grow through anything. And growing pains are the hardest pain. We had to do that as children. We had to go through puberty. How much more will we go through a spiritual form of puberty? God is pruning us. If you want to get closer to God, you got to be willing to lay yourself at the altar and say, Lord, do with me what you need to do because I need to grow. I don't want this easy believism type religion. I want to know you and everything that I need to know about you. I want to be consumed I want to know you to the point where I can be mature. Two, I don't want to just have this head knowledge of you, Lord. I want to have a personal, intimate relationship. And if Jesus suffered, how much more will I be willing to suffer? If Jesus was persecuted, how much more will I be willing to be persecuted? Am I willing to die for you, Lord? Or am I just, you died for me and that's all I'm going to do? I'm just going to church. I'm going to do my little Bible study and then I'm done. We need to get a grip. We need to really get a grip. So we see here Job had those fair weather friends, and the thing was, he says, after the Lord has spoken these words, this was after Job had came out of this trial, because God put him in that trial. The issue wasn't between, because God didn't know Job was going to be faithful. The issue was Satan didn't know Job was going to be faithful. He told God, hey, if you take this hedge of protection off of Job, he's going to curse you to your face. What did Job do? Job was more upset about how he was born. Job was upset. He felt the pain. He felt everything that was going on in his life. But guess what? He still remained faithful to God. He wanted to question God, but what did God tell him? Who are you? The question. He said, when I laid out the foundation of this world, did I come to you for counsel, Job? So Job had an ignorant moment when he was trying to get in God's mind and say, basically, you know, hey, I'm gonna counsel you, God, and find out what's going on. Why did I go through this? Job never was given the answer why he went through. And sometimes we're gonna go through things and we're not gonna know the answer. Sometimes we're gonna be hit rock bottom and we're gonna be in the valley. But are we in the valley with Jesus, holding on to Him, walking with Him, and praising Him and thanking Him and still counting the joy? Or are we in the valley murmuring, complaining, Lord, I don't want to talk to you because you let me go through this? That means people are going to do you dirty. They're going to do you wrong. But you still got to count it all joy. Still got to give God the glory and the honor. Moving on. He says, to say that it is important for us to try to understand what God is like is a huge understatement. Failure to do so can cause us to set up, chase after, and worship false gods contrary to His will. Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5 says, you should not have no other God before me. You should not make for yourself a carved or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You should not bow down to them or serve them, for I, let me get the rest of this scripture. And this is so true. Hey, many people got idols. Many people are worshiping their idols. He says, should not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. He says, those who hate him. If you're worshiping anyone or anything but God, the true biblical God, the God defined by scripture, not scripture. Many people have a scripture God. That's a God that they cut and paste in their Bibles. A God that gives them what they want, lets them do what they want, live how they want, talk how they want, walk how they want, be disobedient as much as they want. My God says, hey, I'm going to visit. My God, the Bible, the God of Scripture says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate Him. You hate God when you don't obey God. I hope you know that. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me and keep my commandments. That's not an option for the believer. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Not the president. Jesus. We need to be walking with Jesus, not with man. When it comes to the word of God, what's true is always the standard. God's holy writ. It is the final authority. It is a standard for righteous living. It's the standard for redemption of man's soul. And if you're not born again, my friend, you are dead in your sins. And if you're dead in your sins, today is the day. Today is the day that you can come clean. Today is the day you can come out of darkness and you can come to Christ Jesus, making Him Lord and Master and ruler of your life. And guess what? You can be free. Free from the shackles of sin. Free from the bondage of this world, the cares of this world, the riches of deceitfulness. None of this stuff you're going to take with you. You could have $1 billion and drop dead 5 minutes after you get it. And guess what?
Where you going to spend eternity? Think you're going to take your money to hell with you? I think not. Folks are fighting over it the minute you drop dead. To this, we're going to close up. Only what God has chosen to reveal of himself can be known. One of God's attributes or qualities is light, meaning that he himself he is self-revealing in the information of himself. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19 says, the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. This is future, friends. This is what's going to happen in heaven. We will not have a use for the sun, because the sun, S-O-N, will give us, he will shine brightly through all of heaven, for all eternity. He will be our light. I can't fathom that. I'm sorry. You know, there's many pictures, and we try to picture and try to put this in our mind of what it's going to be like in heaven. These movies and stuff that's coming out, you know, I'm sorry, the Bible just don't talk about people leaving here. Paul said he went into the third heaven, but he said he saw things that were unspeakable. He couldn't even write about them, but now we got everybody writing about them. You got to be very careful. I'm not saying that people are not being genuine or they're false teachers that have had these so-called experiences, but I'm taking everything and testing it through the Word of God, because a lot of times, some people just have not had a biblical experience, as they say. And guess what? If God gave you that experience, maybe it was just for you. Maybe it wasn't for you to share with nobody. Maybe it was for you to get yourself in order. Maybe it's for you to really embrace God and be able to say, man, I know God is real. And it was just you. It was a message for you from God, and he didn't necessarily want you to go back and tell nobody. It's just like there's a parable in the Bible where Lazarus and the rich man, and he wanted to go over there and tell his brothers. He said, hey, they had Moses and the prophets. They didn't believe them. They're not going to believe them if anyone comes back from the dead. So we got to be very careful with that. I'm not shooting down those that have so-called had these experiences. I'm just saying maybe it wasn't for us to know. Maybe it was for them. Maybe their experience was for them. Let's finish these last two verses. In James 1:17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's right. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, these gifts ain't got nothing to do with the material. Anytime the Bible's talking about gifts, it's spiritual, friends. Always spiritual. Always what we need as believers, what we need to define us and refine us and our character and mold us into what God wants us to be like. The fact that God has revealed knowledge of himself should not be neglected. Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, the rest is Jesus. That's the rest that we entered into. In a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you entered his rest. You no longer have to worry about the Sabbath and New Day, holy days, and all those different shadows and types that had nothing. They could not redeem us, nor could they save us, nor could they make us right with a holy God. It was in the person of Jesus Christ that you and I have been made right, and we are resting in Jesus Christ. And that's our worship should be a worship not on Sunday, but on every day, because every day belongs to the Lord. Amen. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Only way you fail to reach it is when you don't apply what God has given you. Only way you fail to be what God wants you to be is when you refuse to be obedient to God's holy word and to know God the way he wants us to know him. And as we go through these lessons, I hope that each and every one of us will grow more into a more deeper and personal understanding of the character and the nature of God, because until we have a biblical understanding of who God is, we won't be able to live a biblical lifestyle that pleases God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for showing up and showing out, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for using me as your messenger. I know, Lord, I am so unworthy, Lord. But, Lord God, you take those who are zeros and make them into heroes, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, I stay humble and I stay just in your will, Lord God, in your rest, that I walk, that I continue to just hold on to you, Lord God, because I'm so not worthy. And I know, Lord God, that without you, Lord, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. With you, Lord, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. All of us who have embraced you, all of us that know you can do all things through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody at the sound of my voice that has not had a personal relationship, they do not know you, have not surrendered their life to you, that this would be the day that they come to want to know you. Lord, they won't let the night pass them because we don't know. We don't know where we're going to wake up, whether it be separated from you or wake up in your presence and glory. But we're going to spend, each and every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. There's no middle ground. There's nothing else between. It's heaven or hell. I just plead the blood over those who may be wandering, Lord, trying to figure this world out, trying to find some peace and joy apart from you, Lord. May they come, may they meditate, may they seek you, may they just humble themselves and ask, are you real, and truly embrace you. May they grab hold of your holy written for that moment, that they may surrender their life to you and trust you as Lord and Savior. We thank you for this time, Lord. We ask, Lord God, until we meet again, Lord God, that you would just walk with us, talk with us, and that you would continue to lift us up and put a hedge of protection around your people. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out today. God bless you. God bless you. God is good, friend. God is so good. You know, I don't worry about calls I get or people that listen live or, I mean, those that call in. That's not important to me. What's important is, are you getting something from God's word and from the messenger that God is using? It's not about me. It's about him. I am a zero. Christ is a hero. And I stand here naked before you saying, hey, I am just a servant. I am just a servant. And God is redefining me and my character. And I'm trying to stay humble and hungry and thirsty because I understand what God has done in my life. And I've shared it many times. And I share it because I shouldn't be here. 17 heart attacks, 5 stents, 2 open heart surgeries. And it seemed like every year I have a series of heart attacks. But by the grace of God, he continues. He continues to have mercy on me. He continues to use me. He continues. And I'm so glad not to be on that road. I thought I wanted to be on that road still. And I miss it in some ways because I like seeing the country and everything. And if it was up to me, I would love to go out and do evangelism from, you know, truck stop to truck stop. But that's not what God has called me to do. This is where I'm at right now, and I thank you. Hey, I need your prayers. I need you to support me in prayer. Stand with me. Pray that I stay connected to God, that I don't fall off. So many men of God, so many women of God falling off, you know, living this double agent lifestyle. And God has called us to holiness and accountability. So if we see a brother and sister that's fallen, we need to try to pull their coattail. We need to love on them enough to tell them the truth. Not coddle them in sin, but to exhort them and urge them, brother, sister, that's not of God. And when we see a brother and sister that don't want to repent, we need to be like 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when Paul said we're not to fellowship with them. We don't do it because we don't love them. We do it because it's biblical, because they can cause us to stumble. Bad company does corrupt good morals. And when brothers and sisters are in sin and they don't want to repent, you have to leave them to themselves. You got to let God deal with them. You warned them. You bring them before 2 or 3 witnesses. You bring them before the congregation if possible. But we need to be biblical. Church discipline is what God requires. All this, you know, oh, we just going to love everybody. I'm telling you, we need to get out that sloppy, agape mentality. That is not biblical. That is not biblical theology, nor is that biblical love. If I love you and if you love me and you see me taking drugs, you don't just sit there and watch me, well, I guess you're okay because you're in the house. And if you want to smoke crack, I guess the best place to smoke it is here around people that love you. No. I need to slap that out your hand. I need to take that stuff out your hand. I need to get you in somewhere where you can get some help. That means putting you in a rehab. But I need to do what, if it means tough love, it means tough love. I'm tired of this old, you know, sloppy agape type mentality where we just embrace everything and love people when they just flat out just mocking God. That is not biblical. And it's not love. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. So, on that note, I want to close with a song, and I want to just thank everybody for coming out. Lord willing, we'll be back here Wednesday afternoon for part two of this, the attributes of God. Tell your friends if you loved it, if you're liking this, hey, share this with somebody. Again, you can contact me, Daryl Kendrick, on Facebook. Also, you can contact me 713-538 in the LA area if you want me to speak. Hey, I'm more than happy on a Sunday or something. If you're a pastor or minister, if you have a small Bible study group, home group, anything like that, and if I can be there on the weekends, I would love to be a part of that and share the word of God if you feel that God is calling you to call me. Amen? 713-538-4936 is my personal number, and you can catch me at dkendricksr@gmail.com for future reference. God bless each and every one of you. I pray you have a great day. If you're in the Southern California, we're supposed to get some rain today, but hey, let us keep dry. Stay off them slick highways. Don't be driving too fast. Make sure you stand keeping yourself. Keep safe, all right? God bless each and every one of you. Hallelujah. We're going to give him praise. We go out.